You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's here in a little less than 2 weeks, February 26th.
Two weeks from yesterday.
We're here for Wednesday. Another 2 hours. You still have time to stop by and get the tickets. You can stop by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry is another place where you can pick up tickets for this. And it is brought to you by the Washington Wild Things, Sand Desides, and Surfside Seltzer. The Surfside iced tea with vodka is my favorite.
You have a weakness for the Surfside.
It is just incredible.
Yeah,
so hopefully that will be plentiful at this event.
You've sang the praises. Do I need to try to get somebody else to do TV for me that night?
No. I think you need to go do TV in whatever state you are.
So I might have to have somebody drive me over to TV.
Yeah. And just say, look, I've got a healthy buzz going. Then it's you and Richie.
Oh, I need it to be me and Richie for that. Dude, anyway.
Donnie, did I just hear you in my ear there?
Yes, you did.
Okay, awesome. Fan Hotline, that's where we find the biggest Jaguars reporter on planet Earth from ESPN. He is the Brooke Pryor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Michael DeRocco joins us right now. Michael, just what you've heard on this report from golf reporter Ryan Burr on the Steelers contacting the Jaguars about Trevor Lawrence.
Well, first off, it's an honor to be compared to Brooke. She's awesome. Love Brooke. But as far as the report today, I spoke with people inside the Jags organization, and they said no chance they're trading Trevor Lawrence. They just hired Liam Cohen, and the reason they hired Liam Cohen, they wanted a young, innovative, up-and-coming head coach to work with Trevor. And then spoke with another source that said they didn't get any sort of communication from the Steelers in regards to a trade for Trevor Lawrence. So they're a little unsure where that came from.
Michael, just a point of order here, and obviously not asking you to give up any of your sources, nor would I ever do that, but was the source who told you no call essentially was received somebody placed in such a way that they would know that, or is it somebody who maybe like wouldn't necessarily be privy to a call being made if somebody else within the organization actually did field one, if that makes sense?
No, the sources I spoke with are definitely in position to know about this.
Okay. Who's actually, if they actually were fielding trade calls, who's doing it? Because we know Trent Baalke's long gone now, and they don't have a GM down there.
Right. Ethan Waugh is functioning right now as the interim GM. So he would probably be the one that would take some phone calls. Tony Boselli just was hired as executive vice president of football operations. So he's been working with Liam Cohen in terms of helping assemble the staff and is also, you know, in the process of interviewing GM candidates right now. So I would assume those two would be the ones that would get the phone calls. I don't know who else you would call if they were getting those. You know what I mean? Who knows? I mean, I just know the sources I spoke with were adamant that they had not had any contact with the Steelers. The organization had not had any contact with the Steelers regarding a trade for Trevor Lawrence.
Michael, I totally get why somebody on Jacksonville's end who you trust would tell you it's ridiculous, the idea of trading Trevor Lawrence. there's no chance it would happen. And for that reason, I could understand why somebody would even want to dispel or diffuse, like, a trade call on him. Like, so I guess what I'm asking is, from the people you talk to, if a trade call did get made, do you think they would actually tell you that?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, I do. I just know that they are all in on Trevor Lawrence. And Tony Boselli the other day, I think on Jacksonville Radio, I think it was Monday morning, he has a weekly appearance on Monday morning, he said, you know, look, I am as convinced now as I was when we first drafted him that Trevor Lawrence is going to take the Jaguars to a Super Bowl. Now, whether that happens, who knows? You know, and that's the guy who, you know, at this point is probably the highest ranking executive available, at the, you know, at least until we see where the GM slots in. So, yeah, I would expect the people that I spoke with to be honest with me on this one. But I know that there's no there's no doubt if someone were to call, you always listen. You know what I mean? Even, I mean, Trent Baalke has talked about that, you know, in our conversations before for years.
Yeah.
You know, look, you listen. You would be foolish not to listen, whether you are willing to trade the player or not, because you just never know what the offer might be. And, you know, and if it's something that you wouldn't do, you obviously, you know, politely decline or whatever. But, you know, were someone to call, were a team to call and want to talk about a Trevor Lawrence trade, they would probably listen for sure.
Michael, it's funny. I'm sure you've observed the Steelers from afar and noticed that this franchise is down bad when it comes to quarterbacks and has been now for several years, post Ben Roethlisberger and even at the end of his tenure. This is obviously, since you're reporting and telling us that nobody with Jacksonville even fielded a call, just a complete hypothetical. But what kind of a player would the Steelers be getting if they somehow did swing this deal? Because I get the sense that Jags fans are not uniformly behind Trevor Lawrence as like a guy who's going to turn it around and eventually deliver them to the promised land.
Yeah, that is accurate. There's a large segment of Jags fans that are in the he's a bust, he's not going to work out, he's no better than Blake Bortles category for sure. Look, physically, this kid has everything you want in a quarterback. He's big. He's you know, got a really strong arm. He can make every single throw. You know, where does he have to improve? Well, cut down turnovers for sure. He had 60 in his first 3 years. Now, he cut that number down way last year. He was hurt, obviously, for about half the year, but he was on pace to average well, you know, to have, he was averaging 20 turnovers a year, and he was on pace to be well below that, like around 12. So that was the number one thing he had to do. And then the other thing he has to do is get better at situational football, you know, in terms of, hey, look, we're down here on the goal line against the Eagles on the road with a chance to win. Maybe, even though the play is called this way, that the best throw isn't the jump ball to the third string running back in the end zone. That kind of stuff, you know, and knowing when to take some shots, being smart with the ball on third down and, you know, hey, look, just get a few yards. We can kick the field goal, you know, or don't force stuff. You can go ahead and punt. It's not necessarily a bad thing to punt sometimes. So that's probably where he has to take his biggest strides if he continues taking care of the football, which is something he showed he was able to do when he was healthy last year.
Michael DiRocco, ESPN, Jags reporter, reporting that no call was made and that the Jaguars called the idea of trading Trevor Lawrence ridiculous. Michael, thanks for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Okay. So just to make sure I heard him right, he's saying that it didn't happen. They're not trading him.
But they'd listen. Yes. If the Steelers called, they'd pick up the phone.
Steelers, call the Jags, please, then. Let this conversation that may or may not have happened be the impetus to make it happen.
Let me ask you something there. When you heard him say that, because, I mean, our eyebrows both raised, did it make you actually, because we both said at the start of the show, just to be clear, we both hoped that they did call because it meant that they're at least looking and they're being proactive and trying to uncover, you know, turn over stones here.
Yeah.
did a guy from Jacksonville, very well regarded in his coverage, who said, oh, no, 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 the people I talk to are also people very high up. I'm not getting this from, like, mid-level sources,
I'm
right?
not getting this from the janitor or the lady that works in the cafeteria.
10-second aside, was that an offensive way I asked that? Did you know what I was trying to get at, where one hand might not be talking to the other
of course.
His two sources? Okay. It does give me more pause when he says, oh, yeah, my people would tell me. And if they were called, they'd pick up the phone and ask. It does send me a little back to the direction of maybe the Steelers did not call.
Every team that needs a quarterback like the Steelers should rank the quarterbacks that are on other teams that are better than the ones they have. And then they should talk about what they would give up to get that player.
There should be a running board at all times.
And that's what you say in the call. I mean, I'm not going to bore people with details of the NBA here, but that's probably how the Lakers traded Anthony Davis. The Mavericks called, and they said, we want Anthony Davis. We're not trading Anthony Davis. We're going to offer you Luka Doncic. Okay, you can have Anthony Davis. Like, they got an offer they couldn't refuse. If you're willing to make a good offer, you lead with a good offer. You don't say to the Jags, hey, are you willing to trade Trevor Lawrence?
Make them turn you down.
You say, here's what we're offering you from Trevor Lawrence. Do you want it, yes or no?
Right. Make them turn you down. Well, what do you think? Do you think the Steelers called right now, yes or no?
A local musician, Pete Bender, whose biggest hit is a song titled The Pony Express, which is about the show.
Well, it's about you.
Well, you're also mentioned in it. Mr. Chris Muller just doing fine is one of the,
and then I'm not mentioned again.
It's one of the big lines in the song. He has put together a rap about the show.
Because we offhandedly said, I think he might have heard the Top Dog rapper.
Yes.
And we said maybe Pete can compose a rap song. Pete's band plays rock. He stopped by to tell us it was a difficult kind of labor of love, but he thinks they pulled it off.
Yes.
And he's going to make sure. Now, we had given Pete our boss Craig's email, mistake by us. Craig not always reliable on these things.
Now he has my info.
He's got the direct line to Pony.
And he's going
to
pass it along, and we're going to play it on the air. And
next couple of weeks. He said he's got to go back down and get the
Masters. He assured me that there is a whole verse about Donnie. Collection of rhymes about Donnie.
I think each of Pete's successive songs about the show, I would hope, just feature me less and less.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about your. He didn't say anything about how much of it is about you, which is a bad sign, I feel like.
That's how most people feel about the show.
I don't think so. We are live here at the Rivers. You come by, there's a sign that says bar right next to us.
Giant head beneath it.
And we have tickets for you to come to our big 15th anniversary party on February 26th. All right. Steve Palazzolo joining us right now, 33rd team. Steve, fresh off his trip to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Glad to have him back. Pete, it doesn't look like Trevor Lawrence is going to get traded to the Steelers. That's been shot down multiple times today. But just for bleeps and giggles, would that have been a good idea?
Yes. For the Steelers, yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Obviously, it's not happening. I went on a big rant today. I think I had some bad numbers, but I was ranting about how that's certainly not happening, so I'm glad. I was fully prepared, though, to just talk about that the whole segment, Trevor Lawrence to the Steelers. It would have been a good move.
So you are still a Trevor Lawrence guy, then? You are still Trevor Lawrence?
He's still good, right? I mean, I know the term generational is overused, and prospect is different from outcomes, right? Was he a great prospect? Yes. Did he live up to great hype as a prospect? Maybe not. He's still a very good NFL quarterback, and he's shown glimpses of great. And so compared to the alternatives that Pittsburgh has right now, like that's the best possible option if they could somehow get their hands on Trevor.
So you see a big gap between him and Justin Fields for the record.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay.
All right. If I were to tell you just for next year, you could acquire Trevor Lawrence if you were the Steelers, or you could acquire Matthew Stafford, who's better?
Ooh.
Just for next year? Oh, that's close. I'd still go Lawrence. I mean, it's not really just for next year. Maybe Stafford just for next year, but Trevor
it's
Lawrence.
More of a where is Trevor? It's more of a where is Trevor Lawrence like right now? If Stafford's like, you know,
on Steve's power ranking list.
I'm really asking you who's better on your power rankings of NFL quarterbacks right now.
I mean, honestly, that's a great question. They're very close. I mean, I'd still probably say Lawrence, but Stafford's kind of shown that high end ability in any given season. I thought the 2023 season Stafford was outstanding. 2021, you make that Super Bowl run. So I think Stafford's capable of having better seasons. I would have more confidence, though, in Lawrence at this point.
All right, so we crossed Lawrence off the list. Aaron Rodgers was the Jets that made it official today. He's done. Everybody knew that. Schefter said it on Super Bowl Sunday. If Bill Cowher is right, Steve, and the Steelers are really looking at the quarterback position in 2025 as we want a guy that gives us the best chance to win this year, not long-term thinking, but just for 2025. Do you, Steve Palazzolo, believe that Aaron Rodgers would give the Steelers a better chance than Justin Fields or Russell Wilson?
Oh, boy. All right. I think it's possible. The nuance with the Rodgers conversation, it's a challenge for someone analytically inclined like me, because I think throw for throw on the field, Rodgers is still pretty good. Like, I think he took a hit last year physically, and he was coming off the Achilles, and there were some plays it was like, oh, boy, he looks old. But then there's other players where it's like he could still, you know, sling it around and make some big plays. I just think the problem with Rodgers is he's bringing his system and he's bringing his friends and you have to separate him from that. And so he needs to go to a place, I think, that has maybe a great play caller that he's going to buy into in his early 40s. That's going to be the challenge. Like the challenge with Rodgers is less about the on-field physical to me, and it's more about the touchy-feely stuff, right? Is he going to, you know, submit, so to speak, to a play caller, offensive coordinator, and deal with whoever the playmakers are without bringing in Alan Lazard to run, you know, 100 slants to him. So that's the bigger issue for Rodgers. But if he can do that, I think, yeah, he has a chance to be a better option, I think, than either Russ or Fields.
Well, if that's the case, then I would just hire Joe Rogan to relay the plays to him, and you could have whatever system you wanted.
Rogan, play caller. Perfect.
I have this random question. This is like a boutique question for you because Pony and I just had a little fun exercise. We power ranked five quarterbacks that we thought somewhat realistically could be the Steelers starter next year.
So, and I got made fun of.
Yeah, hold on. Don't prime the pump at all with Steve here. We had some carryover. We both had Stafford at number one. Like, I had Fields in there. I threw Shedeur Sanders in there. Like, maybe they trade up, even though I've kind of slagged him in the past. Pony's number two guy. Steve, he was always trying to be, you know, very well-read and smart. He just randomly said, Hendon Hooker. Your thoughts on Hendon Hooker?
I don't think he's the second-best quarterback option for the Steelers. How's that?
He's also basically Brandon Whedon. The guy's 27 years old already, for crying out loud.
He was an intriguing, third-round pick a couple years ago. Intriguing, but not intriguing enough that the Lions were pulling Teddy Bridgewater off the high school practice field to be their backup down the stretch.
Yeah,
so I think that there's something internal going on there where the Lions don't even believe in Hendon Hooker.
So then who's the best option for them, Steve?
Oh, God, it's terrible. Like, we've been talking about this for years, and I was like, just keep taking shots. Hopefully you stumble into one. And here we are, still taking shots. I mean, Stafford does seem like a reasonable option, right? I mean, just to... He's going to be on the trading block, I believe. There were some rumblings that perhaps that was the case last year as well. I mean, he can give you the good one-year option. Rodgers makes me nervous, not because of the age, but just because of everything else I said. And then it's interesting because last year's move with Pittsburgh was interesting because they spent almost nothing at quarterback. You could spend elsewhere. And it's like a good move on paper, but it's not a championship move. Right, so it's tough to win a championship when you're competing with all these other elite quarterbacks. But they did a good job overall. If you could just, you know, take the, you know, high level view of it, so it's not intriguing doing that again, though.
So here's the funny thing: you just mentioned like low cost is what they did last year. What about this situation that seems to be brewing in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, where it's obviously going to be Penix, you would think, given the way he played late when they finally turned it over to him. And then you've got Cousins now basically admitting to national media, I think during like Super Bowl run-up week, that he was way more hurt than they essentially let on. Oh yeah, my shoulder was banged up. My Achilles actually felt pretty good, but all these other parts of my body that I needed to be a good quarterback were not good. what happens there, and what do you think, if that's all true, like how much does Kirk Cousins have to offer to a team if the Falcons are done with him now?
Yeah, I think he definitely gets traded. My concern with Cousins is, you know how calculated he's been in free agency, always making sure, like, he knows who he's throwing to. He's always had good pass catchers. I think he went to Atlanta in part because it's in a dome. He's always playing in a dome, right, since Washington. He's always indoors. I think he has to have that type of situation. Two or three great pass catchers like he had in Minnesota, like he had on paper in Atlanta. All of the on-field performance was concerning, though. His inability to move, maybe it's better 2 years removed from the surgery, but his arm looked cooked. Maybe he was just hurt and he'll be better next year. But I'd have concerns with Cousins because I've heard about him going to Cleveland. If you're asking about Pittsburgh, I don't trust him outdoors in the AFC North. I don't think he's got that type of juice in his arm. I think he needs a controlled environment. And so I would have serious concerns if I'm most teams when it comes to Cousins.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Check him out on the Check the Mic podcast with Sam Monson. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Sorry, Pony. I didn't want to burst the Hendon Hooker bubble.
He didn't really, though. He burst it, and then he brought it back to life because I said, okay, then who? And he named Stafford, and then he ran out of other options.
But he did say if the Lions thought so highly of Hendon Hooker, they wouldn't have hired a high school football coach to come
back
and
play. Yeah, people have put that in my mentions, and I really don't have a good rebuttal for it. We're an hour away from something we call Total Request Thursday. We give you four topics to talk about. You pick the one you want to hear from us. Today, we offered up Trevor Lawrence, Spencer Horwitz, Sidney Crosby, and Aaron Rodgers.
Who's winning?
43%. I say Trevor Lawrence.
How's Sid doing?
Sid is in second at 35.
Well, there's been some consternation today that Sid delivered a command performance last night.
Yep.
And people feel like he should get his just due.
Well, we're giving people a
and
chance.
Pony, thank you. I know. I'm telling people out there, if that's how you're feeling, if you feel some kind of way about this, make your voice heard.
You did.
And vote for Crosby. Look at this. I got the check mark next to Crosby. I voted for him. Make your voice heard, people.
That's over on our Twitter page. Right now, it's time for Donnie's segment. The Donnie Football Debrief is another bald man. Well, a lot of bald men have come over and picked up tickets today for a 15th anniversary party.
You
the baldies are out. No,
taking shots at bald people?
Bald is beautiful.
Yeah?
And for whatever reason, we have struck a chord here with the baldies. They want to be a part of this huge event here on February 26th.
So you're saying we don't have many hirsute fans?
I'm guessing we do.
We have a lot of follicularly challenged
fans.
But
the people that have come out here in force for this event have mostly been bald.
Maybe they're all Malzy fans.
Do we still have tickets left, Seth? We do, says Seth the Milf Hunter. So you have an hour and a half to get down here to the Rivers. We are underneath the sign that says Bar, B-A-R, in big red letters next to the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, which...
What other way was somebody going to spell bar that would confuse them?
True, which is jam-packed here. I mean, it is...
We're under the sign that says CAT, C-A-T.
So there's going to be a mass of humanity. Make your way through that, and then we're here with Seth giving out passes for this event. All right, Donnie has his segment. It's called the Debrief, the biggest football story of the day, according to our football guy.
The Debrief, February 13, 2025. The prospect invite list is out for the NFL Scouting Combine 2025, which will be end of this month through that first weekend in March. 329 total players invited. Here's the other note of that, and this is something Chris and I got into the other day. Last year, for the Combine, 25 defensive linemen got invited. This time, over 40. 41 defensive linemen invited to the NFL Scouting Combine later this month.
I wonder what the number is each year of the 329, how many of the guys get drafted.
Well, I would imagine, what is there, usually 256 picks in the draft? Something like that?
Mr. Irrelevant?
Doesn't it vary based on comp picks every year? So you're usually in the mid-250s. I don't think it's ever gotten to 260, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong there. obviously not every guy that goes gets drafted because the numbers don't match up. I would think there's usually a handful of players, bare minimum, who don't go or don't get invited, and they still make it because a team takes a flyer on them. Now, are there guys who are at the very top who just decline to do drills of some kind, maybe? But they usually go and
yeah, they go and
they go and they do the interview process.
They get measured and they talk to teams.
How I think the easier way to answer the question is, out of say 255, just to use a round number, out of 255 drafted players every year, how many do you think are non-combine guys? That's the easier, because then it's a smaller number.
I feel like the Steelers under Colbert would always draft like a non-combine guy. They always
was Oladokun a combine guy?
Oh, that's a good question. I think he was actually.
It looks like about two-thirds of the players at the combine usually get drafted.
I feel like they liked under Colbert having a diamond in the rough. Somebody that they were keen on, somebody that they were high on. Kevin Dotson was one of those guys.
Well, if there's 329 or whatever, and two-thirds roughly get drafted, then that's a very high percentage of the actual number of picks, Donnie. I'm looking at, draft and combine prospect profile for Chris Oladokun. And then it just said flag on the play, which is how the NFL tells you the page
doesn't
exist.
Did you know that in certain states you can bet on the combine? They set an over-under on 40 time. They set an
over-under
on...
Yeah, Maryland you can.
I didn't know that it was state by state. That feels like one of these times where I'm going to sit here and just go 1-800-GAMBLER.
I disagree.
Problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I think I would much rather bet on that than the Pro Bowl.
I would say gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're putting bets on the Pro Bowl,
I would
too.
Much rather bet on the combine than a regular season Major League Baseball game.
So are you allowed to put, parlays together?
Sure.
So you could go, Xavier Worthy under 424. So, some fat-ass offensive lineman over 5.79.
When I was down at Deep Creek for a guys' weekend one time, it was during the combine, and we were putting bets in on that, and it was wild. It was fun to watch. How different, just think about this. How different is betting on a ice 40 at the combine from betting on, I don't know, the 100-meter dash at the Olympics?
It's not. There's just way more opportunities. I would worry about somebody getting – they're betting $5 a rip on every 40 time.
What do you have tremendous information? You find out this guy's going to run
this
time.
This is what you love. I got a guy on the inside. He's telling me that a 4-2-1 is just right there in the cards for Worthy.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It definitely makes the combine more interesting.
They don't weigh guys at the combine on TV, do they? I think that would be the fun one. It'd be like, all right, you're going to see this guy. Nobody has any idea what he weighs.
You guess
step
how
on
much
the
he
scale.
Really weighs.
They see they get the little digital scale takes intentionally long.
How about betting on guys' Wonderlic tests?
Oh man. Well, they don't do that now, don't they? Do that the S2 test now?
I think they do both.
Betting on the vertical would be kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, it's all very bettable stuff. That's kind of the sad thing,
I guess.
The
bench is good, too, to bet on.
Man, I just had the YouTube algorithm send me a video of when Joey Porter was at a Pro Bowl and did 35 reps on 225, and they were kind of lenient. He wasn't locking out because that's not practical. And then they just go to Big Larry Allen as the guy who has to beat Porter's score. And Larry Allen, he's wearing shoes with no socks. You know he's hungover, and he's just effortlessly floating that bar up about 45 times. Porter, by the end of it, looks like he's understandably ready to keel over. Larry Allen looks like if you asked him to, he could lift at least 5 more reps.
I would be lying to you guys if I said to you that I'm not going to watch the defensive linemen, the wide receivers, and the quarterbacks at the combine. I know I am.
And then you're going to fall in love with a defensive lineman or something and say, guys, I've made up my mind. They have to actually go D-line here, and I'm not a Tomlin guy, but they need to help him some more with
a
great
people
lineman.
Watch Jordan Davis run at the combine and said, get him in a Steelers uniform ASAP.
Still the funniest combine bit I've ever seen was Andre Smith, the Alabama tackle
with
whatever
his man
it was.
Boobs.
And somebody put the black censorship bar over his nipples when he was running. And it just, still to this day, is one of those bits that makes me laugh.
Donnie, will you watch the combine basically in full?
I don't know if I'd say in full, but I mean, there are definitely positions where I'll tune in to at least see what guys are doing.
Let's play a little game. Let's play a little game. Now, some of these people are probably going to go cover the combine. In fact, many of them might. all eligible parties here are people who cover the Steelers, are some form of Steelers beat writer for a living, most likely, if they weren't covering it, to sit and watch all of the combine at home among Steelers beat personnel.
Faribault.
So yeah, that was the first thing.
Faribault, 1,000%. Saunders, about 999%.
How about Derek Bell?
Yes. Yeah, he's another, okay, like 1,000%.
Okay. Least likely Steelers beat writer to actively watch the combine. Person who says, I don't need to do that.
Kabbali.
Yeah.
Or Kabbali. You know what I could envision with Kabbali? He's actually on his way, channel surfing his way to, like, what, NFL Network? And then he sees Karate Kid on, like, FX.
Or he's like,
and he just gets waylaid.
I got to go to the combine, and McAfee's going to be there, and he's going to want to go out and take me out to dinner.
He's going to want to take me to Jeff Ruby's steakhouse.
And then I'm going to have to go there and talk to Omar Khan.
And I'm not going to have to pay for anything. It's really going to suck, guys.
I'm going to have to rent my car when I'm there. I mean, Pat couldn't even provide the car service this time.
He got me a gift card for Culver's, and I have to eat a double cheeseburger and a milkshake and fries.
I have to go home and actually watch some of these guys' game tape just to prep.
I only have today to watch the Cobra Kai series. I wanted to have an extra day, and instead I got to go.
Is this Mark Belichick we're talking about here? He kind of morphed over the course of that thing.